Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Nun Dalet, and we got up to Erev Shabbat Shebetoch HaChag on Nun Dalet Omen Aleph. So now the Mishnah said that there was one time where we got all the way up to 48 different tekiyahs. And that was only on Erev Shabbos during Yontif. So over there, it listed everything, including the special six that were there of every Erev Shabbos to get people to stop doing Meloch out in the field and to close the stores and to be Machriz when it's Shkia and so on. And we ended up including the three for the Shar HaElyon, the three for the Shar HaTachton, and the three for the Milui HaMayim, and then we set three on the Mizbeach, which was not clear. So, but one thing is obvious, we're missing the one that was on the 10th step. What happened to that one, asks the Gemara. V'ilu l'ma'ala sirit lo katani. Apparently, I mean, we could have been able to get all the way up to 51, right? Why did we say only 48? I mean, we were missing the extra three. We said on the 10th step, we had a special three tekiyahs. Ah, says the Gemara, this Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov. The Tanya, because you see, in the Braita, it says that even though in the Mishnah it said Shalosh L'Malo HaAsirit, this Braita expands on that and lets us know that that din of the three on the 10th step is a Machlokas. And according to Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov, he says, no, it was Shalosh Al Gabei HaMizbeach. It was the three that we put up, and we did the Tekiyah at the time that we put up the Murbiyos for the Arava against the Mizbeach. Or perhaps Rashi says maybe this came at the same time, at the moment that we were doing this Hamayim, because there's a number of different Gersos. Question is whether Agabe HaMizbeach meant Mayim Agabe HaMizbeach, or meant the Murbiot Agabe HaMizbeach, or whether the two are the same. But in any event, it was not on the 10th stair. And indeed, HaOmer L'mala Asirit Eino Omer Agabe HaMizbeach. This is not plus. This is either or. So in other words, according to the Tanakama, who says that it's the 10th step, and that's how we reach 48, he doesn't have the three Agabe HaMizbeach. And according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that there was three Agabe HaMizbeach, he doesn't have the 10th step. So either way, it works out to 48. And the earlier Mishnah that we had was going Enochinami, according to the Tanakama. So everybody is maskim to the overall idea that we had these 12 Chatzotzrot, 12 Tkiyos on Sukkos. For some reason, not everybody is maskim. It's not clear. Maybe this was something that was Yadua beKabbalah already, you know, through the years. And the Machlokas was, where were they? So according to the Tanakama of the Braisa over here, who was the one who said the Mishnah before, so they were all at the Nisach HaMayim. So there were three at the Shar HaElyon, and there were three on the 10th step down, and there were three when they were going out, and there were three when they were coming in to Shar HaMayim, and that equals 12. And those are the 12, apparently, that are Yadua, that are supposed to be there. And that was the way that the Mishnah before it said it. This Mishnah that we have right now, apparently that doesn't list the 10th step, still has 12, but it substitutes the three Agabe Mizbeach, which may be when the water was Magiyat on the Mizbeach, maybe when we put up the Murbiot on the Mizbeach, maybe both were at the same time. Then, however it is, that we're Mefarish. Why is it that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that we shouldn't do a triple Tkiyah on the 10th step? Because he says, look, we already did, given the Taka L'Ptichat Sha'arim, basically in terms of the gates, so we have the top gate, we have the lower gate, we have the Shar HaMayim gate, where we're coming in. That makes sense that we should, there's a specific place, and that's very dramatic. You're about to start coming down off of Shar Niknar. You're about to walk out to get the Mayim from the gate of the Azor. You're about to come into the Shar HaMayim. So, of course, there's always a drama. So I understand that we will have, that is the proper place to have your tekiyahs. What's the point of the 10th step? I mean, I understand that there's Ramazim in it, but where's the drama in the 10th step? I mean, there's nothing, it's not as if the 10th step was made out of gold or was shaped differently or whatever. So therefore, it lacks the specific connectedness that the ideas that the other ones have. So therefore, it's not a shad. So it's better if we have a choice to do it al gabei hamizbeach. Then let's do it for the mizbeach. So again, the question is, but does that mean that it's part of the 12 tekiyas for the nizuch hamayim? That's why Rashi suggested before that maybe the putting up of those aravas was done simultaneously with the nizuch hamayim. Or maybe al gabei hamizbeach doesn't mean the morbios. Maybe it means when the water got to the mizbeach. Okay. The Rabbanan say that once we're doing, the whole point over here is for the milui hamayim, isn't it? That we went out, we brought up the water. Why are we doing it in relationship to al gabei hamizbeach? So why should we relate it to the aravos that are putting up on the mizbeach? That doesn't make sense because that doesn't seem related in any way to the actual bringing the water. So the yokach lamala asirit adif. So therefore, it makes more sense to find this remez about the anu lakav lakainenu and to do it on the 10th step. And that way, we have that remez as well. Bishas the nisuch hamayim, and at least while we're walking towards the gate to do the nisuch hamayim, so then the 10th step is more related to the nisuch hamayim. Okay, now we know that there is a chiyuv to be tekea on the karbanas, right? And that we learn out kufa from the pasuk. We're going to see more of that in a moment. And because of that, but since it says b'yom simchatchem and b'mo'adechem rosh et kochechem utkatem b'chatzotzrot alolotechem v'alzivchei shamechem v'ayulachem lezikaron lifnei alotechem. So this is a given. Now this has nothing to do with the milui hamayim. This has to do with the alalotechem, meaning on the musafim that you're bringing on Rosh Chodesh or on the Yomim Tovim and so on. So now when Rav Acha bar Chanina came up midaroma, Aite matnita biyade, he brought along with him a quote from a bright. And he said, when it says in the pasuk, Uvnei Aharon HaKohanim yitku'u b'chatzotzot. What is that pasuk doing there? I mean, it's like just smack bang in the middle of nowhere. Because, I mean, if you take a look at all of the description that we have in that, it already says, I mean, the main point is that it says, as I just quoted, that's in Pasuk Yud, B'yom simchatchem b'mo'adechem utkatem b'chatzotzrot alolotechem. Before that, we have the whole list of the mitzvah v'aseh lecha shtei chatzotzrot. What do you do it for? Taku ben no'adu elecha kol ha'edah. And then the other machanot. Fine. Then all of a sudden it just says in the pasuk, "Uvenei Aharon HaKohanim yitku'u b'chatzotzot v'yulachem chukat olam l'doratechem." I understand. What is that adding? I mean, if you want to tell me that it's the Kohanim that do this, so say, Uvenei Aharon b'chatzotzot, that the one there on the chatzotzot, Uvenei Aharon, but there's no new mitzvah of tekiyah, because the mitzvah of tekiyah alolotechem is the next pasuk, that's in the 10th pasuk. Uveyom simchatchem, uvemoadechem, uvroshei chodshechem. That is where it says beferish, utkatem b'chatzotzot alolotechem. So something seems to be very unclear about what's going on over here, because, I mean, we're adding in an unnecessary yitka'u on the Bnei Aaron. So it says Rav Acha, so what is it coming to tell me? She'in Talmud Lomer, Yitku Shekvar Nemar, Utkatem B'chatzotzot Alolotechem, Azivchei Shamechem. Remember, when the Gemara says Shekvar Omar, it doesn't necessarily mean before. It means it's already stated within the context of this parsha, this halacha. So what would be the point? Tain is Rav Acha. So this, the price of Rav Acha, Matam Lomer Yitku, Hakol lefia musafim tokim. This adds an additional tekiyah that you might have thought that when you're bringing musafim, so you're bringing three different musafim. Maybe it's Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh together, right? So then you're bringing three musafim. Okay, so then you do one perek of shir, and you do one of the three part nine different tekiyah. So you have the nine for all of the three, and not nine for every single one of them, to do the Shalosh Pirkei Shir three times, you might have thought you just do it all together. Kamashvel on the extra Yitko to teach me akol lefi musafim tokim, that according to the number that you have, Hutani lavu amar la, he himself explained. He said over the bright, and he explained, what does that mean? It means lomar shetokino kol musaf u musaf. So if you have, remember, each one of the shir had three different prakim, we said. It was like a concerto. And they would have separate tkia, trua tkia, and each one of the shalosh pirkei shira, which meant that there were nine separate kolos. And then we have for each one of them, it's coming, shetokina kol musaf u musaf. So we would do the mizvah shir shiyom ha-shabbos separately. We would do the lam natseach separately. We would do Rosh Chodesh separately. Fine, that's what it means. Now, the problem is that our Mishnah does not seem to be consistent with that, because the Mishnah says that Erev Shabbat, Shabbatok HaChag, Ayusham Arba Imishmon. Now, we're casting about to figure out where would we get up to the maximum number of Chatzot, Tkiyas. Tkiyas, again, remember, according to the way our Mishnah has it, the Tkiyas include Truas, 48. Remember that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word tekiyas meant tekiya, trua, tekiya, and there should only be one third of the number, because we call that all one. Fine, but we're going according to the Chachamim that argue in Rabbi Yehuda, and we're looking all over the place, where do we get the 48? But if Rav Acha is right, what do you mean, where do we get the 48? We don't have to look to Erev Shabbos, Shabbatot HaChag, to get the 48. We can get the 48 on a regular Shabbat, Shabbatot HaChag, without getting on to the extra six that we needed on Erev Shabbos in order to be mevatel the Av Mivalocha, and so we don't need that. Because anyway, if we have the Shabbat Shabbatot HaChag, we do even better. Because then we get all the way up to 51, because we have the Chof Aleph Shabbat Yom, and then even if we take off the six, we've got nine for the Shabbos, we've got nine for the Yontif. That's the three of each one of the prakim, according to Rav Acha, plus we have the 12 that we had for the Mayim that we just worked out, according to everybody, either because we're including the Malah series or because we are including the Al-Gabe Mizbeach, but everyone was by that there's 12. So that gives us 21, 12, 9, and 9. That's 51. I'm Rabbi Zera, what's with you guys? You don't do the tkiyah l'pichas shorim on Shabbos. The tkiyah at the beginning of the day, when the gates of the Azorah were open, and remember that was included in the standard days 21. That didn't take place on Shabbos because it wasn't a mitzvah. It wasn't part of the Aveda. Why did they do a tekiyah at the Pticha Sha'arim? As a siman that anybody who's around should know it's time to get to your workstations, and everybody's got to be on duty. The Levim that are going to be there should be there waiting and so on. So, okay, I'm going to do that on Shabbos. I'm going to make a call on Shabbos just as a siman bi'alma. I wouldn't do that. So because of that, we're going to go down from 51, and we're going to be missing those three. So then it'll just be 48. So then it'll be the same as the other case that the Mishnah brings, which is the Erev Shabbos. Amar Rava, what the heck? What is with Rabbi Zera? Man hai delo chash lakimcha. Who is this guy who doesn't seem to care? He's sitting there grinding, you know, and he's grinding and he's grinding and he's coming out with this and with that. And he doesn't care if he's grinding, whether he's coming out with flour or he's coming out with a bunch of junk mixed in with the flour. I mean, think about what he's saying. Not one word of it makes any sense. First of all, where do you get the idea that there was no tekiyah for psicha sha'arim? The Mishnah said beferish, there were esrim ve'chad tekiyahs b'chol yom v'yom. Now, to me, kol yom v'yom includes Shabbos. So that means when it's giving you the fundamental number, that minimum number included the three Shabbatichas Sha'arim. There's no way out of that. I don't know what Rabbi Zera is talking about. And fine, let's even say that he's right. So what have you done? You've reduced it from 51, you've taken off three, and now you're down to 48. So if we're looking all over for 48, why did we have to only say, well, see, that's the kash in the end. But why did, first we thought it meant, why should we say, oh, the case of the Friday? Let's talk about Shabbos. On Shabbos Kufa, we have 48. What do we have to bring in? The ones that are there. And it's better. I'll tell you why it's better. Okay, so first of all, Chodeh B'chol Yom Tana. Va'od, even if they're the same. So now we're to 48 Erev Shabbos and 48 on Shabbos. It's still a problem. Why shouldn't we list the Shabbos Shabbatot Chagah Yushama 48? So you'll tell me, okay, so we choose one. No, because this is a bigger Chiddush, and it would be more kedai to talk about that. Because if we mentioned that case, we would have been able to learn two Chiddushim. First of all, the one that we do learn, which is Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, and that would mean that the Mishnah is telling me that we don't blow on the Mala series. So fine, we would have then had the Mishnah teach us what it teaches us, but plus we would have learned out this tremendous Chiddush of Rav Acha bar Chanina, who just brought the Braita that said that you have to do a Tekiah on every single one of the Musafim. Like this, we don't have any remez in the Mishnah to that halacha. You don't think it would have been kedai that if the Tanah held that Rav Acha was correct, that we would have substituted instead the case of Shabbos, because then we would have had this additional limud. So you can't excuse that by saying that we didn't have a tekiah for psicha sha'arim, even if you were right, not to mention the fact that you're wrong, but okay. Anyway, I don't believe this business of Rabbi Zera. That's not the answer. Elam HaRav, I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is obvious. There's no tekiah for Milui Mayim on Shabbos. Under the Mayim, we took care of the Mayim on Friday, remember? Ela She'ein Mamalim. So then that means we're going to be missing tons of tekiahs. That is, if there's ain't tekiah in the Milui Mayim on Shabbos, so then Batzri Tuva. You just consider how many you're going to be missing. We don't have any of the 12. Because there's no going down from Shah Nikna, there's no Malah series, there's no Agape Mizbeach, there's no nothing. Anything that had to do with the Milui Amayim wouldn't be there. And therefore, all that we're going to have is what it is that we got 39. Where do we get the 48, right? We're going to have the Chof Aleph Shebecho Yom V'Yom, and then we have 9 for Shabbos and the Musaf, and 9 according to Rav Acha, for the Misaf of Yontev. Okay, so that we brought it up to 39. But it's not an option to bring it up to 48, so Mamela, we have no choice. That's the real reason. And we had to use Erev Shabbos. Says the Gemara, but wait a second, according to Rav Acha, we could say the case of Rosh Hashanah Shechaliot B'Shabbat, because on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos, since we have 3 Musafim, and each Musaf, according to Rav Acha's Braisa, needed 9 separate Kailais. And we've got Musaf for Rosh Hashanah, we've got Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, we've got Musaf for Shabbos. So that means that if you add those 3 sets of 9, then that means you're going to be adding to the 21. That gives you 18 more. And this is now all the way up to the 48, if you include the additional 9 of Rosh Chodesh. Answers the Gemara, that's true. We could have said that. But remember that we need to know the case, and that was more chashiv to us. Erev Shabbos Shabbatot Chag. Why? Because meanwhile, it can tell us the Tchidosh of Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov that the 12 included the Sha'arim plus the Al-Gabe Mizbeah. And that way we understand that there's a machlokas about the Malah series. So we wanted to bring that in. So this was the excuse that the Mishnah had for bringing it in. Excuse me. I never asked you why it should not, why should it say Erev Shabbos and instead of Rosh Hashanah. I asked you why it shouldn't also mention Rosh Hashanah. I mean, if you're coming to tell, there's only 2 cases ever that we get up to 48. So what do you mention? You're telling me, but there's one time, Erev Shabbos Shabbatot Chag, where there's 48. Is that true? You should say, sometimes there's 48. Either on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos Shabbatot Chag, or if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. Nobody said, me come on, listen up, hello, listen up. Who said that? That wasn't the Shiloh. Listening of a listening of? Why not mention the both possibilities? Well, because Tonev Hashir, we mentioned one of the possibilities as an example. We don't need to mention every one. Excuse me. That's only true where you have a list and you don't want to bring all of the list. So fine, bring one example. But the rule is that if you only have 2 examples of a thing and you cannot show me a 3rd case that I've left out, then you can't use that as an excuse because you might as well say the other one. So my shir, the high shir, what else did you leave out that you're telling me that I only wanted to bring one example out of three. There's only two. And when there's only two, the rule is that the Tana will include it. I'll tell you, there's another case. You're kidding. No. Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach we have in addition to our normal Chof Aleph, Shebechol Yom V'Yom. Remember that we had 27 different Kailais because we needed to go through the Hallel three times. Remember? There were Shalosh Kitas, and they read the Hallel three times, which means that each one of the times that we read it, they would do the Tekiyas. And therefore, at the beginning of each of those three times three Kitas, each one of them said Hallel three times, so then that means that we had to add another 27 Kailais to 21. 27 and 21 equals 48, which is exactly the third example. And therefore, the Mishnah didn't want to say the case of Rosh Hashanah. It gave us one case in order that we should know the business about the Ma'alah series, according to Rav Elazar. So what's wrong with that? Then we don't have any problem with Rav Acha. Rav Acha says, look, it's true, there were other examples, but the Mishnah gave us one in order to give us this additional chiddush. Excuse me, that's not good. Because Erev Pesach is not Shiura. Because in this Mishnah, we could say that we're going Alibet Rabbi Yehuda maybe. And remember what Rabbi Yehuda said about that third cut? He said they never even got to the words Ahavti ki Yishma Hashem et koli tachanunoi in the first of their hallows. So he argued with the Tanakama. He said everybody pushed their way in, everybody was reasoning. And everybody pushed their way into the first two groups that went into the Azor. So that would mean that if you're right, we had three readings of the Hallel in the first group. We had three readings in the Hallel in the second group. But we only had one partial reading of a Hallel up to a Haftiki Yishma in the third group. So therefore, according to him, you never had Mipnei Shoyu Alma Muatim. Very few people were put off until then. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would not have had 48 Kailais. Because there wouldn't be a chance to have the full group. So that means you have to take down two of those hallows. Even if we said that the first hallow, when they first started Hallelujah, they already said three, but we'll be missing six, according to Rabbi Yehuda. In which case, we would only have 41.
He's reporting historical fact. It's a halachic structure allows for this many tekiyos. Why is that an issue?
I don't understand.
It never happened. So what? It never happened, but I allow for it.
I don't understand. The Mishnah is talking about historical issues. There never were more than 21 on a regular day, and never were more than 48, except on these days. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, those days would not have included a Pesach. I don't understand what you're saying. It makes no sense what you're saying at all. The Mishnah is talking about the historical event, darn it. What are you telling me allowing for it? B'chol yom v'yom haya. That's not allowing. Okay. Anyway, ask the Gemara, what do you mean the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? We just proved the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean? The Mishnah uses three times the number of tekiyas that Rabbi Yehuda allowed for. We said clearly the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Yehuda because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tekiya trua tekiya is one. And our Mishnah calls tekiya trua tekiya three. And now you're telling me, because you got a problem with Rav Acha, now you're telling me, wow, maybe the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. How's the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda? Oh, came the Deloka Rabbi Yehuda. That's impossible. No. Come on. I mean, so it's not Rabbi Yehuda himself. It's a Tana that holds like Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not saying it has to be every last aspect of Rabbi Yehuda, whether the three kalais are called three kalais or they're called one kal. That has something to do with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda about whether there was the third kat and they had a chance to finish the Hallel three times. Well, nothing to do with each other. I meant it's a Tana that holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one issue about the question of whether there was the Shalosh Kitais. I went through the Hallel three times. So maybe he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one issue, that there was only one reading of the Hallel by the third cut, because by the time they got there, almost no one was left, but doesn't agree with him about calling a tekiya true tekiya as one. He calls it as three. What's your problem? Okay, anyway, but that means that you cannot show me that there was a shiur. They're trying to show me there was a shiur in order to allow for Ravacha. So now you don't know that there was a shiur. I'm coming back to you again with my shiur, the high shiur. We have two examples in all of our literature of 48. And you mention only one. Why don't you mention the other one of Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos, where you have three different Musafim, Alibit Rabacha, you end up with 48. So what's your answer? I mean, it seems to be clearly that Rabacha is wrong. No, I'll tell you. How about Erev Pesach that came out on an Erev Shabbos? So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would be missing six of the final nine, right? Because we had Sholosh Kitas, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sholosh Kitas did not go through Halal three times. Only the first two did. So now we've got another six to take their place. Because since it's Erev Shabbos, so we have this six to be Mavato Liyam Mimalocha and to be Mavdo Ben Kadesh Lecho. So then that means it would still work out to exactly 48. So Apikshit, take out six and put six back in. And therefore, we anyway, even if it were going on Libet Rabbi Yehuda, we would end up having another example. And therefore, when we ask, so how come the Tana didn't say? What do you mean, how come the Tana didn't say? Tana's not here to list every single case. So it gave you an example of Erev Shabbos, Shabbatoch HaChag, in order to get to this Kiddush that there was no Tkiyah on the Malacha series. What's wrong? It's a good example. And now there's no problem of Mashiach Dashiach. In which case, we don't have any problem with Ravacha. Now everything works out. Now, the problem is, however, that the Mishnah says there never was more than 48. What do you mean there never was more than 48? I can easily bring you cases where there need to be more than 48. Velo, what about Erev Pesach that comes out on a Shabbos? Because over there, you've got to have more than 48. Because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? Let's say, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have the additional six on the Karban Pesach, right? Still, even according to him, we have the Chof Aleph of every day. And since it's Shabbos, we have an additional nine for the Musaf of Shabbos. Then we have the first two Halals, which are nine apiece, which are 18, and then we have three for the last one, and then that comes out to 51. And according to the Rabbanan, the law that we did complete all of the Hallels, so then we have even more because we have another six. Besides all of that, we have the last six of the third, of the second and third Hallels of the third Kat. So how can you say that we never get to more than 48, we get all the way up to 57, according to the Chachamim. Yes, that's true. But the Mishnah, remember, is talking about what happens, not what could happen. And therefore, in order to discuss what happens, we mean what normally happens. Things that occur, kikatani mididiti b'chol shana, something that occurs all the time. Erev Pesach, to come out on Shabbos, which is certainly not a common occurrence. It's lefteh b'kol shana. So therefore, look at Tani. Well, you mean every year? I mean, Erev Shabbos doesn't come out every year during Yom Tov. So why do you say that it happens every year? Oh, to Erev Shabbos shebetoch hachag mihiteh b'kol shana? There's certainly some times where you don't have an Erev Shabbos in the middle of Yom Tov. Where would that be? Where Yom Tov Rishon comes out on Erev Shabbos. So if the first day of Yom Tov is an Erev Shabbos, you're not going to have an Erev Shabbos during Chol HaMoed. And it's not going to be, but by the next Erev Shabbos, it's already Shemini Atzeres. So, I mean, obviously, we're not talking about standard. We're talking about what could happen. So if we're talking about what could happen, so why don't we talk about going up to 57? No, it won't happen. What do you mean it won't happen? Because think about it. If Yom Tov Rishon turns out to be on Erev Shabbos, when do you think Yom Kippur comes out? Okay, make a little cheshbon. And that's why you'll see it can't happen, because we won't let it happen. We will push it off by one day so that Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos. Because if we don't, my timer, because Kivan Dikel Yom Tov Rishon Shechag Liyot Erev Shabbat, if Erev Shabbos is the first day of Sukkot, so then make this little cheshbon, Yom HaKippur and Ematave. So when was Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur was on a Sunday. We don't allow Yom Kippurs to be on Sundays. Because if somebody died on Shabbos, so then that means he's not going to be able to be buried at night. He's going to have to be buried only after a day later. How are you supposed to leave a body out until Matzah Yom Kippur? Therefore, if we see that Yom Kippur is going to be falling out on Shabbos, we, the Beis Din, will force an additional day in El, and we'll make El Mole, so that this won't happen. And we can play games. We can play games. We can be Mekadosh L'Chodesh even when we don't have Eidim, or we could change things in the other direction and push not accept Eidim. There's all kinds of games we could play. And so therefore, we're going to add a day to El, and we'll push it off, which would mean that when by the time Sukkot comes around, it's going to be Shabbos. It's not going to be Erev Shabbos. Fine. Therefore, turns out that every single year there is an Erev Shabbos B'toch HaChag. We do? We push off Elul because of Yom Kippur? Excuse me? How do you explain the mission we had back in the second Shabbat? Otnam chelvei Shabbat krevim b'yom ha-kippurim. That if you brought your karbonas for Shabbos, and they weren't burnt on Shabbos, you continued to burn like you would on every day, you burn them at night. Even if the night is Yom Kippur, you say, but you're not allowed to burn the chalavim of a different day on Yom Kippur, are you? And here it says in the Mishnah that you can. Now, I don't care about the issue. All I care about is the fact that right now, a Mishnah is telling me that Yom Kippur comes out on Matzah Shabbos. I mean, otherwise, why are we discussing whether we bring the Kirvei Shabbos on Yom Kippur? So apparently it is Yom Kippur comes out on Yom Rishon. And Rabbi Zeira said that Kavina Be'Rav Be'Bavel. So when I was learning in Bavel, I always thought, Avi Amri, that when it said in the Braita, the Yom Kippur Shechal Liyot Erev Shabbat, Lo Hayu Tokin, Ubemotzei Shabbat, Lo Hayu Mavdilin. If Yom Kippur comes out on Erev Shabbos, so then there's no point in being tokea, because the kedusha of Yom Kippur and Shabbos is the same. We're not going to need to be mevatel the am mimalacha, and vice versa. If it comes out on Matzoy Shabbos, what would be the point of saying Abdullah? We're not going down in kedusha. The level of kedusha of Yom Kippur is the kedusha of Shabbos. So therefore, I thought, now, what it is that Rabbi Zera says is not, the details aren't important. We'll talk about it in a moment. But the point is that Rabbi Zera says, if Yom Kippur comes out before Shabbos or after Shabbos, okay, so obviously that happened. We have to deal with the halacha. Don't tell me it never happened. Anyway, so I used to think everybody held that. But the kedusha of Yom Kippur and Shabbos was the same, and therefore my statement made sense. Then when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I find Rabbi Yehuda, Bereder, Shimon Mepazi, who's sitting around and saying, no, it's only going a little bit Rabbi Akiva, who was the one who said what we said before, that you can bring the Emurim of Shabbos, you can bring on Yom Kippur. So according to him, it's exactly the same Kedusha. So only according to him do we say that there's no Avdola, and that there would be no Mavdilin at the Ami Malach, etc., etc. Okay, but again, for our purposes, what we care about is the fact that obviously Yom Kippur did come after Shabbos, and we needed to determine what the halacha was, Legabe Avdola. So what are you telling me? That's not a problem. Don't you remember that there are two basic shitas about how we set up the year? For heaven's sakes, we've had this many, many times. According to the Rabbanan, a year is not predefined. A Beis Din takes into consideration various things. Some years can be 354 days, some could be 353 days, some could be 355 days. It all depends on the necessities of the specific timing. That's the Rabbanan. So obviously, according to them, we utilize a little bit of jiggling and use our own das about how to make the year work out in a way that is best. The Acherim, however, remember, they hold that a year is by definition 354 days. We do not allow it to be anything but. And it doesn't matter whether Eidim do show or Eidim don't show, we always will make sure that we have Echad Malay the Echad Chaser, because if we take the Earth-Moon relationship, we'll pretend that there's an orbit of the Moon around the Earth, right? So if we take that relationship to be 29 and a half days, so then that would mean that if we take 1 month of 29 days and 1 month of 30 days, then we end up with 29 and a half per month on the average, right? I understand that there's these additional remainders, but that we take care of with leap years. So if we keep one mole, one chaser, then we got 354 days, correct? Okay, now, if you take those 354 days and you first divide them into weeks, how many weeks do you have? You've got, obviously, 50 weeks of 7 days apiece. That's modulo 7 leaves you at 4. So there's always going to be a remainder of 4 in every year for the weeks. So then that would mean that in terms of the days of the week, if the first Rosh Hashanah was on a Sunday, then the next year is going to be 4 days later and will be on a Thursday. Yom Rishon will become now Yom Chamishi. Suppose it's a leap year. A leap year adds one additional month of 28 days because the Achayim also hold that it's always Chaser, which adds, again, 1 to Modulo 7, right? 28 is exactly the 4 weeks. And therefore, what you're going to have over there is you're going to have this one additional day. And so because of that, you end up with 5 days between. So you'll have to put it up. You'll have to put it up one additional day. So if that's the case, you're going to have always 4 days, or you would have 5 days. So that way, these 29 days, divide them by 7, and you're left with the 28, you're left with 1. So this gives us either 4 days between 1 year and the next, or 5 days between 1 year and the next, if it was a leap year. If it's going according to the Acherim, so then obviously it could come out that Yom Kippur will be after Shabbos. I wasn't talking about the Acherim. And therefore, all of these kashas that you have, they're meaningless. Lo kasha, ha rabbana, and ha acherimi. The other Mishnah, or the Brisa, we were talking about the Rebbe Zeir, that's going alib the acherim, the tanya acherim omrim, ein ben atzeret la atzeret. If you take a look at the number of days between Shavuos this year and Shavuos next year, or between Rosh Hashanah this year and Rosh Hashanah next year, it's always going to be a maximum of 4 days, not a maximum, it will always be precisely 4 days later. El arba'im yamim bilvad. And if we add it to the 28 days of a month, we added the 28 days of 4 weeks, we added 29 days of the leap year month. Imaita shana mu'beret, that pushes off an additional day, and that gives us chamisha. Fine. So perfect. Anyway, getting back to Rabbi Acha. So far we've worked things out that we do have a separate tekiah for every kind of musaf and so on and so forth. But there's another problem with Rav Acha. Meisve. It says in a braita that if Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Shabbos, then the shir of Rosh Chodesh takes the place of the shir shel Shabbos. And what we do is we'll say Baruch Hinavshi, and we won't say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. Now, this makes no sense, because according to Rav Acha, we're supposed to say all of the shir. Every one of the musafim has a different shir, and everyone has three parts, and everyone has its 9 tekiyas, so then obviously Rav Acha is wrong, because he eat that Rav Acha was right. You should say both, Leima de Shabbos, Leima de Rosh Chodesh. Why are we talking about being docha? Omer Safra doesn't mean docha that you don't say it. That's not our point. It means we say the Rosh Chodesh one first. We do say both. But counterintuitively, the Rosh Chodesh one comes before Shabbos, and that's docha. Well, why? That violates the general rule. I mean, even if you don't want to talk about Shabbos being more Mekudesh, because maybe the Musafim, you'll say, the same level of Kedusha, but one is Tadir and one is Eino Tadir. And remember that when you have something that is more frequent than something else, Tadir v'she'eino Tadir, Tadir Kedem. And this is a violation of the simple rule. On Rabbi Yochanan, that's the whole point. That's exactly the whole point. Is we want everybody to be thinking, what the heck? Oh, it's Rosh Chodesh. Because like this, people will not put their minds to the fact that it was Rosh Chodesh, and then they'll get mixed up about the days and so on and so forth. So in order to publicize to everybody, Leida Shulpa Rosh Chodesh Bismano, we want people to know that it was Rosh Chodesh. But they have other ways of knowing it's Rosh Chodesh. This shouldn't be the hecker. V'hai heker avdina. This is the heker to let people know that it's Rosh Chodesh. What about the famous heker that it was in the Mishnah that we had back in Shkolim? Heker achrit avdina. The Tanan, it said back in Shkolim that chelve tamid shel shachar. So whatever, chelve of course doesn't mean only chelve. Chelve means whatever the emurim are. We call all emurim chelve. Okay, but and because we're talking about the Ayla over here, so it's got all the busser, not only the emurim, so got everything chelve. Okay, so we would take the, remember that we had the Kohanim first bringing it up to the Kevesh, and then we had afterwards with the Kohanim that would bring it up from the Kevesh. So the Chelvei Tamid Shel Shachar, they were put on the Kevesh, but they were put on the lower part of the Kevesh towards the Tzad Mizrach, which is towards the entry into the Azor. If we have the Musafim, and the Musafim come out before they had a chance to take, this could happen very easily, that we brought the Avray of the Musafim, and we still had the Chelvei of the Tummy that were there because the second group to bring them up hadn't yet come before we were already did the Musafim. So we put the Musafim Michatzi Kevesh Ulamata, but on the other side. So it's to the left as you're going up to the Kevesh. It'll be to the western side towards the Heichal. And if it was Rosh Chodesh, then the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, they were put on the upper part of the Kevesh, because they were put right next to the Karkov HaMizbeach, the Karkov in our terms, of course, it's not called the Karkov, we call it the Soveh, but in the Mishkan, they had the Karkov that was made out of the Nechoshet. Okay, but in our terms, that means that we put it by the Soveh, and that is on the upper part of the Kevesh, much farther above than either the Avrei, the Chalvei HaTamid, or the Chalvei for Shabbos. Why would we do that? Rabbi Yochanan said, we did that so that people should see, oh, wow, it's Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh was Kavua Bizmano. So what are you telling me that we needed to be Deiche in terms of Kedima, that people should realize it's Rosh Chodesh? So what's the big deal? I understand, everybody is so aware. You know, you really think that everybody notices everything? You're lucky if you get people's attention with 20 akeras. So what's the problem? So three akeras, you know? Anybody who sees this one and makes the connection, you know, Yoredlo and Asimon, so he makes the connection to the first one. If he didn't see that, maybe he'll make the connection to the second one. That doesn't bother me at all.